Murtyam by Murti. Narayanaha Naraha Nara Narayan. Rishi Prabhupada, the best of sages, Prashantaha, perfectly peaceful, Naishkarmya Lakshanam, characterized by the cessation of all material work. Uvacha, he spoke. Chachara, and performed. Karma, the duties. Yaha, who? Adya api, even today. Cha, also. Aste, is living. Vishi, Varya, by the greatest sages. Nishevita, being served. Hungrihi, his feet. Nada Narayan Rishi, who is perfectly peaceful and is the best of sages, was born as the son of Dharma and his wife Murti, the daughter of Daksha. Nada Narayan Rishi taught the devotional service of the Lord, by which material work ceases, and he himself perfectly practiced this knowledge. He is living even today, his lotus feet served by the greatest of saintly persons. Purport. It is understood that Nada Narayan Rishi spoke transcendental knowledge to great saintly persons such as Narad Muni. On the basis of these teachings, Narada was able to describe Naishkarmya, or the devotional service of the Lord, which eradicates material work, as mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.8. Tantram sattvatam achashta naishkarmyam karmanam vataha. The Atma-Swarup, or eternal form of the living entity, is devotional service to the personality of Godhead. But our perception of our eternal form is covered by a material concept of life, just as our normal understanding of our life is covered by a dream. Naishkarmyam, or the cessation of material work, is possible only by the devotional service of the Lord, as stated by Narad Muni himself. Naishkarmyam apyachuta bhavavarjitam mashogate gyanam malam niranjanam. The process of transforming ordinary karma into naishkarma, or transcendental work, is summarized by Srila Prabhupada in his commentary on this verse, spoken by Narad Muni. Fruitive work, in which almost all people in general are engaged, is always painful, either in the beginning or at the end. It can be fruitful only when made subservient to the devotional service of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita also, it is confirmed that the result of such fruitive work may be offered for the service of the Lord. Otherwise, it leads to material bondage. The bona fide enjoyer of the fruitive work is the personality of Godhead, and thus, when it is engaged for the sense gratification of the living beings, it becomes an acute source of trouble. According to the Matsya Purana, Dharma, the father of Naranarayan Rishi, was born from the right breast of Brahma and later married 13 of the daughters of Prajapati Daksha. The Lord himself appeared from the womb of Murti Devi. What's our stop time, by the way? 9 o'clock, okay. Om Ajana Chimiram Dhasya Jnanjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurudevaya Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamai Yam Dhati Shapatamstam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Tathagatakamana Shri Gurun Vaishnavamstam Shri Rupam Sagrashatam Shahagana Raghunathan Vitamastan Sadiva Shadvaitam Shabhadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamastra He Krishna Karuna Sindhau Dina Vandhau Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Hanuman Vaipriya Anshako Patavityascha Kripa Sindho Pyevacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Dharmasya Daksha Duhitar Yajanishtha Murtyam Narayano Narashi Prabhala Prashanta Naishkarmya Lakshanamu Vajachachara Karma Yodhya Pichashta Rishi Bhargan Nishedatangriti. Oh, as usual with the descriptions of the avatars of the Lord, his mission is described and his physical characteristics are described. So, Dharmasya Daksha Duhitarya Janishtha Murcham. The Narayana Onara Rishi Prabhupada. So he appeared as the son of Dharma and Murti. And he was the best of sages, Prashanta, seemingly peaceful. And his mission was to deliver transcendental knowledge, particularly in regard to Naishkarmya. Naishkarmya, not the truth of Bhagavad-gita. Naishkarmya means activity performed without fruitive reactions. The purport references a verse Prabhupada often quotes, Naishkarma Matyachuta Bhava Vajitam. Nashobhate Gyanamalam Niranjana. Kutapuna Shashvad Abhadra Ishare Macharpitam Karma Yapyakarma. Nashobhate. Naishkarmya doesn't look very good when it's achuta bhava bhajata, when it's devoid of devotional service. That means the jnanis also come to the stage of Naishkarmya, or the concept at least of Naishkarmya. Their idea is to free themselves from materialistic activities. They reject the activities of sense gratification. But Nishobhate doesn't shine, doesn't look very good. Because Achyuta Bhava, there's no love for the personality of Godhead. Achyuta Bhava Vajita. Simply to be free from material activities is not the healthy condition. any more than being in the hospital recuperating is healthy life. You may be pronounced free from the disease, but if you're still lying in the hospital bed, you're not healthy. Healthy means you go back to work, you have sex, you eat, you do all the things that healthy people do. It doesn't look very good that you're healthy, that you're lying in the hospital. So the Gyanis, they're officially free from the materialistic disease, but they're not engaged in their healthy activities of devotional service to the personality of Godhead. So in the Shobhate, they don't look very good. It's not therefore they can't stay in that position. They'll eventually fall. And if their position isn't very good, kutapuna, then what to speak of? Shashvata bhadram ishare, macharpitam karma yajapta karma. What to speak of materialists who are engaged in activities for food and enjoyment? Where is the bhadram, uncongenial? Not very good. Bhadram means very nice, and bhadram, uncongenial. Charpitam karma, yoki akarma. The fruit of activities are painful, totally misdirected, illusory in the sense that the living entity performs them for happiness and gets just the opposite. So naishkarmya finally means devotional service to the personality of Godhead. Otherwise, even naishkarmya, nishkama, karma, there's sakama karma and nishkama karma. So sakama means motivated by material desires, by the thirst to enjoy. And nishkama, free from the desire for enjoyment. Acting as a matter of duty, acting as a matter of karma. But until one comes to the stage of acting purely for the satisfaction of Krishna, one is not properly situated. So the Lord appeared as Naranarayan Rishi, ultimately to lead the living beings to the process of devotional service. Everything is meant to lead to devotional service to the Lord. The whole Vasudeva Purana, the whole Vedic project is to lead us to devotional service. Elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Dharmasya Yapavargasya Naitaya. The simply religious activities is inadequate, particularly when it's meant for sense gratification. Nartasya, dharmakantasya, dharmalabhya, labhaya. The dharmic activities are not meant to provide us a happier life in this material world, with a better standard of eating, with good health, with good family, with good this, good that. That's not the point. One may perform one's activities according to varna, according to ashram, as a sannyasi, grahasa, vanaprastha, dhamachara, brahman, kshatriya, vaishya. But unless one becomes attracted to the personality of Godhead, then it's a waste of time. Dharma svinistita pum sam vishvakchena katasi. Not padayevi dhiratam. Yes, just a waste of time. The whole purpose is that whatever my ashram, whatever my karma, should lead to devotional service. The tattva vittir bhutanam yena sarva nibandhitam. Sva karma natama vyaksha siddham bandhitam. Everyone can attain perfection by devotional service. And without devotional service, it will all be a failure. So that point we need to pick up, that we may perform our duties, we may do whatever, but Prabhupada said we want to see, our ultimate goal is to become mad after Krishna. The Goswamis were like that. They were mad after Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set that example, mad after Krishna. And the materialist isn't even interested in Krishna. And the religionist is interested in Krishna or God, but very concerned with rules and regulations and doctrines and this and that. And then the third class devotees, they're interested in Krishna without the rest of the devotees. They're very devoted to the deity. They want to serve the deity. They want to dress the deity nicely. They want to have beautiful place for the deities, everything for the deities, but they don't know how to deal with the devotees. Nor do they even, it's not on their agenda that I have to somehow or other please, I have to please Krishna. And these other people should either help me or get out of my way. That's called prakriti, materialistic devotee. He adores the personality of Godhead and closes the doors on the devotees. That's called prakriti bhakti. And second class devotee, he is devoted to the Lord. He makes friends with the devotees. He avoids the demonic and he tries to help the innocent and bring them to Krishna consciousness. That's the standard. Prabhupada said that should be the standard of devotional service. And first class, he sees everyone as being engaged in Krishna service. Uttam. So we should at least come to this stage, or we should aim at this stage to be mad after Krishna with his devotees. Not that just mad after Krishna, but we want to develop loving relationships with Krishna's devotees. We want to serve not only the Lord, but the Lord with his devotees. Krishna alone is impersonal. Krishna means Krishna's with Radharani, the coward, therefore Prabhupada gave that direction. In the paintings, never just Krishna. Devotees always have to be there. A cow at least has to be there. Yashodamayi, Nandamaraj, cowherd boys, gopis. Because Krishna is never alone. Sometimes the Mayavadis, they like to have paintings, Krishna's in the sky, surrounded by the clouds. That means impersonal. Krishna means that akila rasamrita sindhu, akila rasamrita murti, that he's always in exchanges with his devotees. That's Krishna. So, and not just the devotees in the spiritual world, but we love Krishna with Radharani, and again, the rest of the devotees don't count. But it means all the devotees. They may be higher, they may be lower. But jay bhaje shevala bhaktahin chai Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, anyone who's engaged in the service of Krishna, he is great. Jay bhaje shevala. And bhaktahin chai, the wretched people are the non-devotees. And they also can be uplifted and become devotees. And that's the purpose of our Krishna consciousness movement, to try to become devotees and to engage others in devotional service and to appreciate Krishna in that context. Okay, maybe I'll stop here, see what kind of questions there might be. Okay. Mm-hmm.
In the purport, it's Sri Prabhupada said that our form in this purport is service.
Is what?
Is service.
Yes.
General service. Is that like the technical? Like, our form is service.
Let's first of all find the quotation. Let's see. Oh, I see. I'm in the wrong canto. Okay, I can find it there. There we go. Our perception of our eternal form is covered by a material concept of life. The Atma Sarup, or eternal form of a living entity, is devotional service to the personality of God. Yes, Jivar Sharupoi Krishnair Nitya Das. You know, we want to know, do you know your Sarup? Have you realized your Sarup? Oh, good question. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Jivar Sharupoi Krishnair Nitya Das. My Sarup is that I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. That's a tremendous realization, because we're otherwise thinking that we're servants of ourselves. Self-serving, self-interest. And, or extended self-interest, my country, my friends, my family. Humanity. Environment. I'm not the servant of the environment or the servant of humanity or the servant of my country or my family. I may be that temporarily, but that's vapor that has no substantial existence. It's a dream. A covering of our real life, of our real identity. Nobel Prize winning philanthropist. I'm a doctor of such and such. I'm a lawyer. I'm a judge. These are coverings of our real identity. My real identity is that I'm the servant of Krishna. Or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Gopi Bharata Padakamalayam, Dasa Dasa. Servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. So this identity we have to realize. Atma Swarup, what is my eternal form? My eternal form is the one servant of Krishna. Yes.
This concept of Naishkarmyam, in Gita 3:4, it describes Nakarmanam, Anaramam, Naishkarmyam, Purushoshan. So, not merely by abstaining from work can one become freaking karma from the action. But then, when Narada Muni speaks in 1:5:12, it starts out with Naishkarmyam. It doesn't look well. Okay, so we know that there's a cause of fall down, but actually, isn't, like, if there's a jnana taint to uttama bhakti, isn't that also karma producing, even though we may be not engaged in fruitive work, but if we're tainted by jnana, isn't that also produced karma? I had a discussion with Gopi Parandan one time, and he said, yes, it does produce.
Yeah, anything that other than pure devotional service, the impurities have to give some sort of effect. It'll be less because he's engaged in devotional service, but it's mixed devotional service. So is the mixed in stuff going to have a result? Yes. In our own personal lives, I'm a devotee, but I also do X and X and X and X for sense gratification. Is that going to have an effect? Yeah, it's going to have an effect. It's not that we're immunized, that we chant Hare Krishna, we do devotional service, and therefore all the nonsense we do has no effect. It doesn't work that way.
I mean, after all, isn't the law of karma there so that it knocks us out of the illusion that we're the center of the universe and gradually helps us go through the necessary reformation to get to the point where, hey, Krishna, you're the center.
Mm. Yeah, therefore any self-interest has some result. You know, the karmis, the gross karmis are so into illusion that they don't know where the top or the bottom is. They're deep, thick, and ignorant. The devotees, those who've taken to the process, are cleansing the heart, so they're more purified. But still, subtle Maya is there. And when we become attracted to that Maya, then some problem will be there. It may not be the same kind of kick that the gross materialist gets, but it's a kick. And it will be, in one sense, the devotee feels it more keenly because he's I'm trying to be Krishna conscious, but why can't I make progress? Why don't I have a taste? Why am I distracted? Why am I, for this reason or that reason, I'm committing 10 offenses while chanting, disobeying the orders of the spiritual master, being attentive, blaspheming the devotees, and so on. Even those things will have, Vaishnava Parayas will have an effect. So many things. Thank
you. I was recently reading Radha Swami's book, The Journey Within, and he makes the point that Krishna arranges material energy to transform to help the devotee. This is in a discussion on the law of karma.
Yeah, there's a. And what is that verse? Sadaya Bhak, that verse. Tatse Nukampa. In the purport to that verse, it's mentioned that the reactions or the sufferings that a devotee experiences are tailored to his case. They're specifically designed to purify him. Why am I suffering from A, or why am I suffering from B, whatever it is? Because I have a particular disease, and Krishna is so kind that he's smashing me, so that I'll get free from that. Yes.
The previous question about our swarup being devotional service, because I've been thinking about this, I just would like to mention that that's the general form is devotional service, but there's five different rasas, and they're all engaged in service. But there is a specific rasa, which is servant, which is different than just the general description of devotional service.
Yes, but all those rasas are based on the principle of service. One time I was editing Nectar of Devotion in the very early days, And there's this mixing of rasas. This one is compatible with this one. This one is compatible with that one. This is compatible with that, but not with this, so on. And I asked Srila Prabhupada about, because it was a little confusing the way it was transcribed, and there were questions and holes, did you fill them? And I forget which rasa it was. I asked, you know, is this one compatible with dasya? And Prabhupada said, all of them are compatible with dasya. Because dasya is the basic principle of all the rasas. If you look at madhurja, which is the best, what is it? It's dasya. The basic principle of madhurja rasa is dasya, it's service. It's not something else. It's service in a particular mood. It's service with a particular feeling, but it's service. It's not that the servants are servants and the cowherd boys are enjoyers. The whole mood of, because we'd like to go to the spiritual world so we could enjoy. But the mood of the spiritual world is not enjoyment, it's service. Why are the gopis unrepayable? Because they sacrifice everything else, every other consideration. And their only concern is Krishna should be happy. That means service. We do service, but we're thinking, if I arrange my service this way, I could get something. Gopis aren't thinking like that. Or anyone in the spiritual world, none of them are thinking that. They're just thinking, how will Krishna be happy?
Mm-hmm. On the screen, the Prabhupada mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, special natural appreciation of the description of a particular pastime of Godhead indicate the constitutional position of the living entity.
Yes, in the mature stage. Yes, that it's not that I'm just a neophyte devotee and I really like this chapter of Krishna book. So I must be in Atsalya Rasa, I must be in Madhurya Rasa, I must be in, I think I might be a queen. That's all imagination. But in the mature stage, when one is free from material desires, and one is strongly attracted to hearing about Krishna and serving Krishna under the directions of the spiritual master, and one is blessed by Krishna and the spiritual master, then he'll naturally get a taste for hearing about particular activities that are that correspond to this eternal engagement. But that's spontaneous, and it's on the pure platform. It can't be forced, it can't be manipulated, and imagination doesn't help.
Thank you, Maharaj. Because I remember 1968, Upendra Prabhu asked that question to Prabhupada. He says, Swamiji, if our relationship is a father and son, how is that I will act as a lover? So Prabhupada, I'm paraphrasing, Prabhupada says, no, all the relationship is very unique and beautiful, wonderful. But if you feel that you have a relationship with the Lord as a lover, in your maturity of devotional service, Prabhupada said, if you are positioned in that relationship, then in maturity, it will reveal.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Otherwise, Prabhupada gave the example of prematurely aspiring or imagining, imagining a relationship. That some little girl is trying on her mother's shoes. You know, if you ever, like, the little girl goes into the closet and then her mother's high-heeled shoes are there, and the little girl is putting on those shoes. It's just play. It doesn't mean anything. In the mature stage, you'll have the right shoes, everything. But now, you can't wear those shoes. And you'll just, you know, break your neck or mess up the shoes. Okay. Yes, there's a question of it. In the first line of the purport,
Srila Prabhupada mentions that Naranarayana Rishi.
I think it's, first of all, I think it's Hridayananda Maharaj and Gopi Pranayananda Prabhu and Company. So it's their purport.
Okay.
Prabhupada is coming through them. Yes.
So, Naranarayana Rishi explained this devotional service to Narada Muni. So when did that happen? Can you explain more on this?
A long time ago. I think it might even be mentioned, actually, if you look in the first. It's mentioned. And I think it's also mentioned in the third chapter, first canto, where Narayana Rishi first makes his appearance in Bhagavatam. You can check there. My sense of dates is not very good. Something else? Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, where are you? Okay.
Maharaj, you mentioned in the class that the spiritual world is not, it's for service, the mood is service, it's not enjoyment. But then great devotees and saints, they say that whenever I taste the, you know, have the higher taste of devotional service, I can easily give up the lower taste of material activities, enjoyment. So this higher taste, isn't that some kind of enjoyment too?
It's enjoyment, but the enjoyment is not a separate thing. That I serve, and by service I get enjoyment. Just like in the material world, you serve, you get some money, and you enjoy. Or you serve, and you get a high position, and honor, and prestige, and you enjoy. So the service results in enjoyment. But in the spiritual world, the service is the enjoyment. It's mentioned that there was, you know, like ecstatic feelings are enjoyable. But there was some devotee, he was fanning Krishna, and he started to feel ecstatic symptoms in his body. And he was trying to get rid of them because it was getting in the way of his service. The devotee, even when we're not perfectly pure, then we want some reward for our service. Even whether it's a, you know, I want a feeling or I want something. In the spiritual world, it's not about what will make me happy. If I do this, then I'll feel really good. I'll enjoy. They just want to serve. And the service naturally is enjoyable. Just devotees are distributing books, and they forget about eating. They forget about going back to the Sankirtan band. They forget about their family. They forget about whatever it is, because it's too enjoyable. It's too much fun. Not because there's like some separate fun component or separate enjoyment component. It's serving Krishna or distributing the message of Krishna to conditioned souls is so tasty that they, you know, I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back. I just want to do this. But even sometimes it doesn't feel enjoyable. There's austerity, there's insult, there's trouble of some sort, there's anxiety. That doesn't feel like fun. But it's service, and therefore it's also relishable. And later he goes back, just like I was hearing I met one gentleman and we were talking about his wartime experience. And he was talking about all the hard things that he went through and all, but it was relishable for him. It was relishable for it to him to remember how he was serving his country in that context. Material example. On the spiritual platform, there's not a difference that there's, we like the enjoyable stuff and the hard stuff somebody else can do. You know, the pain someone else can take, and I'll take the pleasure. Thank you very much. But on the spiritual platform, there's no such distinction. Happiness and distress are both absolute. They're different features of not enjoyment, of ecstasy. We have this idea there's enjoyment and there's distress. But on the plane of pure love for Krishna, there's not this two-sided thing, and I go after the one and I reject the other. Okay. 901. We stop here, right? Or, yes.
So how can you describe the stress in the absolute level? Like, is it happy distress? Like, I don't understand that.
Well, it's distress. It's described by the acharyas what that distress is like. And they use different poetic metaphors. I think there's some place where it's described as being like hot sugar candy, being hot sugar juice. It's so hot that you can't drink it, but it's so tasty. Like that. There's different metaphorical or poetic ways of describing it. But there's a philosophical discussion by Srila Jiva Goswami. He says, if it's not ecstatic, if it's not enjoyable, why are sages like Sukadeva going after it? Why are great self-realized souls who are free from all material desires going after this pain? Why are they relishing these things, separation? Why are they cultivating service in the mood of separation? Because it's absolute. Because it's even more enjoyable, he says, than meeting Sambhoga. And to be with Krishna is enjoyable. To be feeling that love of Krishna and separation is still tastier. Even if it appears to us like suffering. Okay. Lakshmi Prabhu had a question. Is the suffering a byproduct? Okay, yeah.
Thank you, Maharaj. So my question is, at this point, my only focus should be to serve my spiritual master with his blessings and mercy. So I should focus only on that aspect of my devotion at this point of my spiritual life. Is that correct?
Why at this point?
Okay.
At every point. Guru Mukha Padma Bhatya Chitete Kuriya Kyaana Kuriya Nirmanja Chakru Dandi Loje Janme Janme Prabhuja. Why only at this point? And then when I graduate, I don't need the spiritual master anymore. That's the Mayavad philosophy. You climb the wall with the help of a ladder and then you kick away the ladder because you don't need it anymore. First, with the help of the Guru, you become Bhagavan, and then you can. At every point, our service means serving the spiritual master. The spiritual master is the manifest representation of Krishna. By serving the spiritual master, we're serving Krishna. And we're serving Krishna. It's not a separate thing that I only serve my spiritual master. I'm serving the spiritual master, I am serving Krishna. Or I'm serving Krishna through the spiritual master.
I always wondered why, if our natural inclination is to serve, why when we say this word servant, people feel like even insulted when a Christian say we are servant of God.
Not servant. Ugh.
Even devotees say, okay, I'm a servant, but
slave.
If I advance, I will have. It's like even for devotees, it's hard to accept the word
because
servant.
This is our nature. We don't want to serve. To be served, now that's cool. But to serve, I mean, there's something. Give me a minute. There's something repulsive about the idea of being a servant. Before I be a slave, I'd be buried in my grave. Because we have this material concept of serving in the world of exploitation, better to be the exploiter than the exploited. And we've got this idea that this world, that my life is to enjoy and control. Ishro hum hum bhogi siddho hum. Therefore, in Paradise Lost, John Milton has this sterling line where Lucifer says, better to reign control, better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. That's the materialistic mentality in a nutshell. That's why hell is, yeah, that's why there's anyone around. I mean, it's not that full compared to the spiritual world. That's where the real, where most people are. But there's always a batch of fools who think like that. Better to reign in hell. Okay. So, better to serve here or there. What is that? Svarabhyabhaka, Madhakesha Pitu Yatadarshi. Better to serve wherever we are. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Sripa Jayadita Swami Maharaj ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samavita Vaishnavinda ki jai.